the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith. I'm not David Dawson.
No,
I'm Gabby Smith.
You're not.
Along with David Dawson and Johnny Aver, we've been cracking jokes all morning. And I thought it was Tuesday, so yeah, happy Wednesday, guys.
See,
good morning.
You're heading for the weekend early, and you didn't know.
There you go.
How about that? Mm-hmm.
I think I was behind. No, I was behind.
Yeah.
I thought it was Tuesday.
Well,
it's probably the heat. It just kind of sucks it all out of you, I guess.
The heat.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's the weather for today.
It is a good day. It is a good day to be alive, especially alive mm-hmm. in the Lord, right? Amen, man.
Yes.
Halfway,
yes.
Almost summer. Yes.
Hey, we have a guest in the studio that I want to quickly introduce. We have Josie Duke is here with us this morning. Hey,
good morning.
She's going to be joining us at around 7:30. But you know what? You're here, so you chime in whenever you want to.
Thank you so much.
Join us in discussing, Josie.
Thank you.
And it's good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I missed you guys.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Today's a special day. We're remembering the apostles. Our gospel's focused on that. So let us call on them as we mm-hmm. get our day started in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on your Son's choosing of his 12 apostles today, let us remember that we too are chosen and called to be your followers, giving witness to your offer of salvation, gained for us by the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us the graces needed to accept and accomplish your mission for us on this day in a spirit of gratefulness and humility, armed with the truth of the gospel and the charity of all the saints to assist us. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We ask Saints John Jones and John Wall to pray for us. All right.
Yes,
Amen.
We will learn more. Yes, and we'll learn more about these saints later on in today's show, but we're starting off with Johnny Aber's gospel reflection. That is coming up in about 5 minutes. In 18 minutes, Lonnie Thibodeau joins us. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations for the Diocese of Homer-Thibodeau. And today, he'll be giving us an update of what you're going to be finding in the July issue of the Bayou Catholic Magazine. In 35 minutes, taking it over to my happy place, the Florida Panhandle, Dr. Tom Neal joins us. He is the Chief of Evangelization and Mission Engagement for the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee, and he's going to be giving us an update on his new role over in the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee and what evangelization is up to over there. And in 48 minutes, like David said earlier in today's show, Josie Duke joins us. She's a Catholic school teacher at St. George Catholic School in the Diocese of Baton Rouge and also a Catholic theologian. And today we're going to be talking about the Eucharistic revival as we continue our discussion on that. So looking forward to today's guest lineup. And real quick, because we've been getting a lot of requests for events, if you have an event you want to promote on Catholic Community Media, you can submit your event for free at our website at ccmedia.live. Click on Events and News, and there is a Submit Your Event button right there on the website. So you can go ahead and do that, and we might just talk about it on Wake Up, right, David?
Yeah, we always have a lot going on. I mean, we got festivals. We've got the Knights of Columbus are always doing things. And it's so incredible, all the different things that are going on that I used to miss. I used to always read about them later, you know. But now mm-hmm. you're going to hear about them live.
Yeah.
So, you know, holler at us. Let us know what they are. And we'll get the
yes.
word out for you. So,
most definitely. Mm-hmm. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It is 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Cananean; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, you know, someone once said that the shortest distance between a human being and the truth is a story. And I think it was a C.S. Lewis, kind of one master of stories, was talking about his conversations with J.R.R. Tolkien, the Lord of the Rings author. And they were talking about stories and myths in the sense that myths are based on the great ones, great truths. And this is what opened up J.R.R. Tolkien's ability to lead C.S. Lewis eventually, who was an atheist at the time, to the faith. And he told, Tolkien told C.S. Lewis one time that some myths are true. And of course, he was talking about his Catholic faith, talking about the truth of the gospel. And how that opened up, that truly the story of salvation is mythic in that sense. It's true. It's not fiction, but it's true. It speaks of great truths. And so today, you know, I think the gospel today is interesting because you can read it as just simply a list of names. But there are epic, mythic connections going on here in our gospel today. You know, the people of that day of Jesus' time would recognize this, but maybe we lose a little bit in time. But everything in the gospel today knits together everything that had happened before, and in so many ways. So let's touch on it real quick, and I'd love to get you guys to jump in on this, especially you, Josie. So, for example, why 12 apostles? Why not 10? Why not 15? Why not 2? And, of course, specifically, Jesus is reflecting the fulfillment and the renewal of the promises given to the 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, the 12 apostles will actually judge the 12 tribes of Israel. We will read later. And here's another one that jumps out. Why go to the, related to this, why go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not yet to the Gentiles? And of course, again, God is coming to them and saying, you've been waiting all this time, all these promises. You are the people to which I revealed myself to. It is, so I've come to speak the truth and reveal myself to you first. They expected the Messiah. They will get to see him face to face. Jesus sends them off two by two because in that day you needed two or three to be witnesses to the truth. And that sends them out that way. And then, of course, the list. This is important. Notice every time the apostles are listed, Peter is listed first, even described as first, protos, foremost. Judas is always listed last. And, of course, we know this led to Peter being our first pope all the way up to today. And I think the most important thing, too, here is, lastly, what is that these 12 apostles are doing? They're doing exactly what Jesus was doing. So it is Jesus, you know, that is fulfilling and giving his mission through his apostles and his successors. And finally, I love this one. You know, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the one we should be thinking about all day long. I know some people receive the Lord in the hand. Some people receive him on the tongue. But boy, there's so many meanings to this kingdom of God is at hand. But certainly in the flesh and blood of Jesus speaking, walking with us, but also in the Eucharist, for example, when we receive him, there he is in full in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So anyway, all so much here than just a list of names, guys. So I wanted to get your input, you know. Got a favorite apostle or something here that kind of strikes you guys? Josie?
Well, I've always loved Peter because he gives me hope. Any man who can put his foot in his mouth as often as he did and get it so wrong as often as he did, but when he was on, he was on. Mm-hmm. When he had it right, he had it right. And even as egregiously as he messed up, I can look at Peter and go, dude, you're me. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving me hope and for helping me understand that Perfection is not a requirement of a disciple. It is God who perfects me. I do not perfect myself. I can't. And, you know, those of us who are perfectionists by nature have to really grapple with that. It's like, no, it's not about you, sweetheart. It never has been. So Peter gives me hope. But what's interesting is in the Gospel of Matthew, he starts with a genealogy, which is Jesus's genealogy, right? Luke does the same, except they go in different directions. But here again is the list, right? And as Johnny pointed out, Peter's always first, and Judas is always last, but Judas is always mentioned as the one who betrayed him.
The one who betrayed.
Just in case anybody had any doubt about who this man is, let me set you straight. Oh, this is the guy who betrayed him.
It's a title.
It's a title. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what a title.
Yeah, okay. It's a title. Yeah. So, you know, of course, and then there's John, the one on the opposite end of the spectrum who showed up. He was there at the foot of the cross. He took care of Our Lady because that was the honor that was given to him because he showed
up. What
an
honor.
Right.
And he ended up seeing, in the end, Revelation, seeing her crowned in glory in the heavens.
Wow. Indeed. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading about this older priest talking to a seminarian, you know, that the problem with the world was that it refused to grow up. And so the seminarian asked him, so when is a person considered to have grown up? And the older priest says, when they don't need to be lied to about anything. And I think that's the beauty of the gospel today and everything about our faith is the historicity of it, the truth. No myth, no fable. Everything the world is saying about happiness and about finding oneself, that's built on lies. But we can say to the world, hey, here's the truth. No agenda, no bias. The story is flesh and blood, and his name is Jesus Christ, the answer to every question. So a lot here today, and thank God that these apostles, you know, continue to their teachings, the apostolic tradition, the sacred tradition, and comes to us in that unbroken line. So anyway, pick a favorite apostle, and you'll find something there that you can attach yourself to, especially Peter, a man of humility.
I like that.
Love it.
Yes.
Well, stay with us. Lonnie Thibodeau, he's going to join us next. He is the Director of Media and Public Relations with the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau, talking about the July issue of Bayou Catholic Magazine. You've tuned your heart to the truth. Be right back on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 12th. Today we celebrate Saints John Jones and John Wall. Today's saints were martyred in England in the 16th and 17th centuries for daring to openly minister as priests. John Jones was Welsh. First ordained a diocesan priest, he joined the Franciscans at age 60 and returned to England 3 years later when Queen Elizabeth I was at the height of her power. John ministered to Catholics in the English countryside, often using an alias, until his imprisonment in 1596. He was executed 2 years later. John Wall was English-born and educated in Belgium. After his ordination in Rome, he entered the Franciscans and was given permission to work secretly in England. In the year 1678, a local Anglican had worked many English people into a frenzy over an alleged papal plot to murder the king and restore Catholicism in England. That same year, Catholics were legally excluded from Parliament. John Wall was among those arrested in the last large-scale persecution of Catholics in England. He was executed in 1679. John Jones and John Wall were canonized by Pope Paul VI in 1970. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Aber and David Dawson. Thanks so much for tuning in wherever you are, whether it's on the radio, on your mobile device, or on your TV. We're so glad that you are joining us today. Our next guest is Lonnie Thibodeau. Lonnie is a director of media and public relations for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, and today he joins us to give us an update of what you're going to be finding in the Bayou Catholic Magazine July issue. Good morning, Lonnie. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good morning, Gabby. How are you?
I am doing great. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to be broadcasting this morning and reaching so many people, and looking forward to learning more about what you can find in the Bayou Catholic Magazine. Starting off with page 8, Bishop Mario Dorsonville's monthly column. What did he write about this month?
Yeah, Gabby, what he talks about this month, the name of the column is Choosing to Accept the Mercy of God in Our Lives. And in particular, what he's talking about is something more we'll talk about probably within the next few minutes, is a big part of this magazine and the next few days, quite honestly, for our diocese, is the ordination of 3 new priests. And we'll talk more about them in just a couple of minutes. But the point being is, in his column, he talks about the gift and the mystery of priestly vocations. And it's like he said, you know, vocations don't come from thin air. They come or they start with families, you know, and that's, you know, within our own homes. And every single one of us comes from a family, and that is exactly where that call should begin. So, you know, great, great column talking specifically about our 3 ordinance, but also, you know, just how that applies in our own lives. Obviously, very, very, very few of us that are listening to this or will ever listen to this will be in that position of being an ordained priest one day. But the point being is, these particular 3 are 3 great examples of the call began in the home. And that's what Bishop talks about in the column. It's a great column on page 8.
Definitely. We'll be checking Bishop Dorsonville's column. Well, and you also, as we continue on to talk about ordinations and the priesthood, that's exactly what we'll find on page 22, talking about the blessings of the priesthood.
Right. And what this column's about, now this may seem like, you know, wow, what a stretch, you know, a magazine or an issue that you're talking a lot about the 3 new guys you got coming in. This particular story on page 22 is we're talking about some of our beloved priests who have been with us for a long time. In fact, last month when I was on with y'all, we very, very briefly touched on this particular story, and that is we've got a number of priests who are hitting significant ordination milestones this year. We feature on page 22 3 that hit big ones. Father Willie Todd, 60 years as an ordained priest.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. Thomas Curry Post, 40. And Raleigh Grecia, 25. You know, so yeah, 60 years, guys, as
that's
a priest and Father Todd. And let me tell you, while he is technically retired, he lives at St. Joseph Manor in Thibodaux, and he's actually the chaplain there at St. Joseph Manor. He is still a very, very active yet retired priest, writing a weekly column. He publishes his weekly homily. I mean, very, very active after 60 years as a priest. Just amazing.
So, Lonnie, he's able to get around and say masses when they need?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dave, he tries. I mean, he tries. He's had some physical limitations in recent years, so it's a little hard for him to get around, but he absolutely adores, as do the other 2 that we're featuring here, love still getting around. In fact, the other 2, Thomas Kyriakos, Father Thomas is at St. Lawrence. He's still the pastor at St. Lawrence in Cramer, 40 years, and Father Raleigh Grecia spent 15 of his 25 years as a priest here in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, and he's currently the associate pastor at St. Joseph Co-Cathedral in Thibodaux.
Gosh, that's awesome.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. I love those stories, you know, like wedding anniversary milestones or priest anniversary milestones. I love hearing about these stories, and it's just absolutely incredible. So thank you so much for that, Lonnie. Well,
this
next story is super interesting. It's a story on how some of the seminarians in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux built an altar for Bishop Dorsonville.
Yeah, what happened, Gabby, is when Bishop Dorsonville finally got here and moved in about 3 or so months ago, as he was going through the bishop's residence, one of the comments, it was just kind of a side comment that he made to Father Mitch Seymour, our director of vocations and seminarians. He goes, man, you know, this house will be truly fulfilled and finished and everything once I have an altar, because there is a small chapel in the bishop's residence, but it did not have an altar. So he made a comment, boy, it'd be great if we'd have an altar. Well, guess what? Our formation house in Thibodaux, where our new seminarians are formed, is called the propaedeutic year, which is a new thing that affects all seminarians. Anyway, one of the things that they're learning is carpentry skills. Well, what they did is they took three of our newer seminarians, Chad Cheremy, Ethan Henry, and Wayne Romero, working with an actual carpenter, Wiley Mathern, and they built not only Bishop's altar for his home, but also the tabernacle.
Oh, wow.
So it is, right, Gabby. It is a great, great story of how these seminarians, you know, some good hard work and learning a new skill, but also remember who and what you're doing it for.
Yes.
And the pride that they have and will always have of knowing they did it for their new bishop. And it's just a tremendous story. And I strongly encourage people to read it. It's on page 24, you know, in the magazine this month.
Oh, absolutely incredible. And you also have a story or a column by a newly ordained priest. Tell me who it is and what is he writing about?
Right. And what we did, Gabby, as I mentioned, we have three priests being ordained. Well, two being ordained in the future tense. One has already been ordained. Let me very quickly explain this as I talk about this story. Father Davis and Aham Bishawe, who is from Uganda, when we were planning the ordination, the issue was visa issues for his family, for all of them to get here in July. So what happened is the decision was made to allow his home bishop in Uganda to ordain him there, which happened a week and a half ago. And then, in fact, Father Davis is already back here. So he's now here as an ordained priest and will actually participate this Saturday when we ordain his two brothers, Father Joseph Laparouse and Father Matthew Prosperi. So that's the way we had to do it. So the column that Gabby's talking about is on page 28. We have a firsthand story from Father Davis. On page 30, a story from Father Joseph Laparouse. And on page 32, a story from Father Matthew Prosperi. Now, Father Davis from Uganda, get ready for this, guys, is a medical doctor. He was a doctor in Uganda for a number of years, got the call, went to the seminary, and then became a priest. Again, very unusual. We've heard stories of attorneys and becoming, but he was an actual medical doctor, and now he'll be, you know, saving souls. So it's a great, great story about him. And then on page 30, Father Joseph Laparouse and Father Matthew Prosperi, and they'll be fathers. Mm-hmm. I don't want to jump ahead. God willing, they'll be fathers this coming Saturday.
This weekend, but, yes,
they went to high school together. In fact, they went to high school with my two sons at Vanderbilt Catholic in Houma. Both are from the Houma area. And so, you know, Father Joseph talks about his column, how the call came to him in high school, wanted to pursue electrical engineering, and did for 1 year in college, and then went to St. Ben's. And then both Father Joseph and Father Matthew, by the way, their seminary was in Rome. They went with our good friend, Father Josh Rodrigue, who's now at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They went to the seminary in Rome, and both of them will be wrapping up. They'll be ordained this Saturday, and then Father Joseph will return to Rome for a little bit, and he's going to get some additional canon law training before we officially get him back. So again, tremendous week, great week of anticipation as we have the ordination. It's 10:30 a.m. this Saturday at St. Joseph Co-Cathedral in Thibodaux, where we'll ordain Joseph Laparouse and Matthew Prosperi.
Is that open to the public, Lonnie?
Yes.
Because ordinations are the most beautiful
ceremonies.
Phenomenal. Yeah. I can only imagine.
Oh, I agree. And we certainly, I thank you for the question, and we absolutely encourage people to attend. We know what it was like 2 or 3 years ago with COVID when we had to do, you know, a very button-up, tight ordination that the public wasn't invited to. So, we're joyously inviting people to come if they can on Saturday morning.
Nice.
Absolutely incredible. Not in the Diocese of Home with Thibodaux. This issue just says it all. It's just jam-packed with wonderful information and just such unique stories. Lonnie, can people subscribe to the magazine to get them in their mailbox if they don't live in the Diocese of Home with Thibodaux?
Yes, Gabby, that's a good question. And yes, they can, because typically what happens is the magazine, comes out once a month, and it's usually in the back racks, if you will, in our 39 church parishes and some businesses as well in our area, in all of our Catholic schools. But yes, it is possible that if people don't have a computer or don't have access to the internet, yes, go ahead and call the Bayou Catholic office and just go ahead and give them a call and say, yeah, and we do have a limited number of people who are on that kind of situation. And by the way, the phone number, if they want to call the Bayou Catholic, is 985-850-3132. Just call the Bayou Catholic and let them know that you would like to do exactly what you just asked about, Gabby, and we certainly, I'm sure, can accommodate them.
Yes, and you can also go to htdiocese.org to read all of these stories online. Lonnie Thibodeau, Director of Media and Public Relations for the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau, thank you so much for being with us today.
Sure, Gabby. We're looking forward to talking to you next month.
Yes, looking forward to it, and what an exciting weekend ahead. My goodness,
yes,
definitely
indeed.
Check out these stories. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're taking it over to the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee with Dr. Tom Neal when we return from the break. It is 7:30 on Wake Up.
Past the hour on a sunny Wednesday in the middle of the heat, middle of July. Good to be with all of you. Tell your friends, tell your family. Tune in wherever you may be along the Gulf Coast, stretching as far as even Florida. Speaking of, we're joined this morning with Dr. Tom Neal, our good friend. Good morning, Dr. Neal.
Good morning, Johnny. It's so good to hear your voice and to have you be the conversation partner today.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're jumping in.
We got a whole crew lined up for you. We're going to pepper you with questions. We've got a new title, new location, Chief of Evangelization and Mission Engagement for the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee. So how appropriate is it that, today our gospel is on the apostles and their mission, and here you are with a title like that?
No, it really is. I was thinking that, of course, this morning as I was praying with it, and then I listened to you reflecting on it and thought, yeah, this is exactly why I'm here, is to help the priests, the lay ministers, leaders, people of God in Pensacola, Tallahassee, to do exactly what Jesus says, which is to go and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and to bring about deliverance and healing and all that comes with that, the kind of the proclamation of the gospel. So, this is exactly it. And I get to collaborate with our local apostle, Bishop Bill Walk. So I get to join the 12 through him and share in that mission here. So it's a great privilege for me.
Well, I want to dive into that, but I first want to ask you, how's your tan coming?
My skin doctor has forbidden me from tan the rest of my life because I'm Irish and it's all over, so it won't ever happen.
All right. Someone said that.
I get to enjoy the beauty of Florida, but I have to be very careful. Yeah.
Well, some say that the big change is finding sand instead of mud in your car when you go from Louisiana there. Anyway,
that's very true. But it's just as much rain. Let me tell you, it has rained every day since I've arrived.
Oh,
wow.
It's a rainy place. It's a thunderstorm.
It's still pretty, though. That water's still turquoise.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. It's gorgeous. I want to say one thing before we jump in. You mentioned Father Davis down in Houma, who's the MD Ugandan doctor who came over here and now is a priest for Houma Thibodeau. And I just want to say this. I got the privilege of teaching him and getting to know him and spending many, many hours with him, just thinking together about the faith and the Lord. And that man has changed my life fundamentally.
Wow.
And if I'm a better person, he has something significant to do with it. So Houma Thibodeau is blessed to have him.
Wow.
That's incredible. You know what I love about Dr. Neal is he has formed our priests. Right?
Yeah,
he was part of the formation of our priests. That must be so incredible. All these guys that we hear about, Dr. Neal said, I taught that guy. you know, yeah. I just think that's amazing.
And clearly something stuck, Dr. Neil, because these men are phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal priests. Absolutely.
Well, there are. Yeah. No, it's Notre Dame Seminary. Just the program itself over the years has just grown extraordinary ways that I was a small part of, but a privileged part of. And it's true. And I always say to the guys in their last year, the last class I teach them just before they leave to be ordained priests, I say, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
That's
don't forget
right.
about I like me, that. My family. Please pray for us. Whatever good I've given you, please return it for prayer. So that I have so many men have returned that favor to us.
Mm. Nice. Wow. And now you find yourself there. You know, I'm really curious about your first impressions. I mean, you're in an area up the north panhandle of there when you got a lot of people, vacationers coming in and out.
That's
and
right.
then a lot of people moving there from places that aren't familiar with the culture down here. So how do you deal, how do you kind of take on this whole idea of evangelization and mission in that kind of a climate and situation?
Sure. No, it's a great question. I mean, I think the key word is diversify how we do what we do here. I mean, we have, as you said, we have very diverse populations in this diocese. It's North Florida. We, as Catholics, are a minority. It's a mission diocese because we're such a tiny minority.
Hmm.
Mostly it's Baptist and other forms of evangelical Protestants in North Florida. And as you said, we have kind of the tourists, the beachgoers, we have snowbirds, we have a couple of military bases here, we have some large universities, we have a lot of rural parishes, some urban parishes, Tallahassee, Pensacola, and so on. So there's a lot going on. So, I mean, a lot of it is just diversification. And probably my first year of work will be getting to know the local leadership, priests and lay people and parishes, getting a sense of what exactly the challenges are, what the advantages are, what's being done, and how we can kind of grow and build what's being done and add kind of new ideas, new visions. The beautiful thing about our Catholic Church, because it's been around so long, is there's a vision for everything. Right? There's a strategic plan for everything that's already been done and tried over and over again. So so it's a matter of realizing what's needed for the unique situations that each community deals with, and then trying to bring those alive and discerning what the Holy Spirit's asking. So it's challenging, but I think it's extraordinarily exciting.
Well, you know, it's like it just seems like with so many people on the move, your encounters just gotta count more. And I was kind of thinking about that, how you had to do that in the classroom, you've had to do that in your previous roles, where you just have to use the most of your brief encounter. And is there something there that we can even use in our lives in terms of evangelization that we don't live in that area and that's our situation, but yet some of those same things can apply to us? How do we make the best use of our...
Sure. No, absolutely. But let me just give kind of, I guess, one little insight, which is something that our past three popes have emphasized so powerfully, which is at the heart of faith is the personal encounter with Christ, the personal encounter of the individual with Christ, kind of this intimate encounter. And so the work of evangelization, of being Christian, of being human, but of being Christian and evangelizing, is to always attend to the person in front of you. You know, you can think about programs or numbers or data or statistics, all of that, and you have to take those into account. But in the end, you know, it comes down to how you love the person in front of you in the moment, how you intentionally try to manifest or witness the presence of Christ in that moment, to make that present, to share your own experience of that, whatever that is, to never forget that it's not about any end programs or strategies, although those are helpful and important. It's about the individual encounter. And as Pope Francis, in his encyclical on evangelization, says, it's the joy of the gospel, ultimately, that attracts people most, because people long for joy. When joy is absent in your life, you feel the depth of the poverty. And when you meet someone who has a genuine joy, who shares that joy, wants to share it with you, there's something remarkably attractive. So I think, you know, that individual witness in relationship, or what St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, called the apostolate of friendship, the encounter of friendship, is always the most important So that, I think that would be the emphasis I always kind of hold in front.
Amen. The encounter of friendship. I love that. We've been talking with Dr. Tom Neal at the Pensacola Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, in his new role of Chief of Evangelization and Mission Engagement. Well, Dr. Neal, I just want to know, too, are you going to be continuing with your blog and other writings? And where can we kind of continue to follow you there?
I'm grateful. Thank you for mentioning that. So, yes, my blog, which is, my last name is Neal, N-E-A-L, so it's Neal Obstat, O-B-S-T-A-T, neilobstat.wordpress.com,
which
is a play on the Latin.
I love it.
Yes. My wife said, couldn't have you chosen something easier to spell?
Yeah.
Neal Obstat. Right. Nah.
I took a break for, what's that?
No, I did want to ask you how the whole family was adjusting. Yes, to their new.
Oh yeah. That's a great question. I mean, my wife is still in Metairie, selling our house.
Ah.
We have a contract on a house here, and my children are all back in Louisiana, from Ruston to Baton Rouge to New Orleans. So we're scattered right now. The children, all of us are scattered, but. Hopefully there'll be a regathering. But my blog, I'll be resuming this weekend. I try to post every day or close to that and share my thoughts on the gospel. So thanks for letting me mention
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
Thank you, Dr. Neal. We'll stay up with you. God bless. Our thoughts are with
always
you.
Always a joy. Thank you so much.
Josie Newt, up next. Stay with us. Long Wake Up.
Past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I am David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Johnny Hebert. And in our studios, we have a dear friend, Josie Duke. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
You have initials at the end of your name, and I don't know what they are.
A few. Well, okay. MRE is Master of Religious Education, which
okay.
I received from Loyola University, New Orleans,
all
in,
right.
I think, 2006, 2005, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. And an MATS, which is Master of Arts in Theological Studies from Notre Dame Seminary.
Okay. So you know Dr. Neal.
I did. I did not have the pleasure of having any classes with him.
Oh, okay.
But I saw him on campus every time I was there. He was always smiling and upbeat. It was amazing.
Yeah. That's just his nature. We were just talking about joy.
Yes, so, indeed.
Yes, and he exudes joy. Okay, with all these initials and all this knowledge that you have, I wanted to talk. This is the Eucharistic Revival. 2 years, three
right.
years. How long is this going on?
It's,
2 years.
It's 3 years. We're
three
in.
Years. Okay.
We're in year two
that's
of 3 years.
Okay.
And so, you know, last year it was all about diocesan renewal.
Yep.
This year it's all about parish renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And next year it will be about pilgrimage. It will be about
that.
You know, and if you actually, there's actually a website for the Eucharistic Revival, and you can actually see where in the United States the Eucharist will be on pilgrimage, and people can come, and even here in the United States, in Louisiana, New Orleans is a stop
mm-hmm.
on the pilgrimage
that's
route.
That's right. That's right.
So it's amazing that it's practically in our backyard.
So what I'm gaining a lot of knowledge about Christ's presence in the Eucharist, which is so important, and that's why I think this Eucharistic revival going on is so important, because as Catholics, we just kind of got lax with that, right?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really did, and I don't know how.
Yeah.
We could probably pick that apart for
sure.
a few hours,
mm-hmm.
Might be for another day.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to talk about today is, you know, God is so desperate to be with us,
mm-hmm.
truly present with us, that he started all the way back in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, preparing his people for the reception of the Eucharist.
Okay.
And so the Eucharist is actually foreshadowed in so many places throughout the Old Testament that it really is truly amazing, the depth of his love, the profundity of his love and his grace and his mercy to prepare us for the gift of the Eucharist. And
so the puzzle pieces are there in the Old Testament.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And some of them are really easy to spot.
Okay.
And some of them are like, oh, really? Wow. That's
oh, wow.
interesting.
Okay.
You know, as all things are in Scripture, right?
Sure.
So as all things, we start in the beginning.
Okay.
So we go to the book of Genesis, which is actually, aside from the Gospels, of course, probably my favorite book in the Bible, because the first three chapters are so rich. Mm-hmm. People gloss over it as a story. It's like, no. Read that again. So we go to the Garden of Eden, and, you know, God gives Eve to Adam so that they can be in communion with each other, so they can model the love of the Trinity to each other and to their children and to the world.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we know what happens.
Right.
They partake of the food of the forbidden fruit, and that brings death.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there's another tree in the garden, the tree of life. And if you go from the beginning and then skip all the way to the end, to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7, John says, "Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the victor, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life that is in the garden of God." And that is a reference to the Eucharist.
Okay.
They could not eat from the tree of life in their fallen state.
Okay.
Because if they had, they would have been condemned for all of eternity in their fallen state. There would have been no chance of redemption, which is why God put the angel there to keep them from going back. But here in the book of Revelation, John says, no, but this fruit from this tree will give you life. And so what is the food that we receive during our life to help us on the journey but the Eucharist? So still in Genesis, we go to chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Cain's brother, you know, Cain, the just Abel, is murdered by his brother. God says, what have you done?
Right. Right.
So because of the spilling of Abel's blood, it brought death to Cain, to his soul, right?
Right.
But the spilling of Jesus' blood brings us life. And so in St. Gregory the Great, St. Gregory the Great actually references this, the blood that Jesus spilled obtained life, not for his persecutors, as well as for the rest of us. So again, this is a foreshadowing to the Eucharist, to the blood of Christ that we receive in the form of in the what looks like wine.
Was turned
into his blood,
right?
Okay, and again, Genesis 14, Abram's rescuing of Lot, we have this mysterious figure of Melchizedek, the priest.
Right, just shows up out of nowhere.
He shows up out of nowhere. He has no father.
Right.
He has no mother. He has no lineage.
Yeah.
Right, okay? And so again, St. Paul in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3 references this, which is why in the Psalms, whenever, in Psalm 110, whenever a man is ordained to be a priest, as we have these three beautiful gentlemen going to be ordained this weekend, probably will use Psalm 110, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah.
And what does Melchizedek do? He offers a gift of bread and wine. He offers an offering when Abram and his men come for refreshment. And we have this mysterious figure come from nowhere,
right,
offering bread and wine. So here it is again, you know, another reference to the Eucharist. Now, something that's much more obvious, of course, would be Exodus 12, the Passover.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's obvious.
That's where it's just laid out for
you. That's pretty much where it's laid out for you. But
right.
Dr. Brant Petrie makes a really good point about this. The only people who were allowed to partake of the Passover meal were those who were part of the covenant. So if you were a circumcised male, a Jew, or if you were a slave but were also circumcised, you too were brought into the covenant, and of course the women, because they were part of the family, they were able to partake of the Passover meal, but anyone else would not be able to.
Okay.
Just like in the Catholic Church, our Protestant brothers and sisters, and maybe even some Catholics may not understand, that the Eucharist is not a rite. The Eucharist is a privilege for those who are in full communion with the Church and who are in a state of grace.
Okay.
So if you are practicing Catholic but you are not in a state of grace, you cannot receive it. And it's not because we think we're better or smarter or holier.
Right.
It has to do with the fact that we're trying to protect you from yourself, from receiving the Eucharist in an unworthy manner.
We don't want
you to call down judgment upon yourself. So we have things like the Passover, which are, you know, really easy and really laid out. Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians, points this out. In Exodus 16, we have the manna.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The miraculous bread from heaven. In fact, the word manna comes from the Hebrew manu,
which
means what is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So the Hebrews walked out and went, man, who? Like, what is this?
Wow.
What is it? That's where the word manna comes from.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right.
So like I said, some of these things are much more obvious and like, oh, yeah, we get that. What about in 1 Kings 19 when the prophet Elijah flees from Jezebel and an angel comes to him and he wants to die because he's wandering in the wilderness and God sends an angel with bread and water for the journey.
A
40-day journey. Right. Yeah. And so these things just, and there's so many more.
You got these little nuggets all through the Old Testament.
All through the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus and the book of the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah, because you got a lot more there.
I have a lot more here.
You can't cram that in just one little segment.
I know,
so you
right?
know what that means.
I'm going to have to come back.
Yep.
She's coming back.
And I would love I would love to continue the conversation.
Yeah,
but
because,
yes, these are beautiful.
We're just getting started here, you know?
And, we really
are. I don't want it so abbreviated. You know what I mean?
We
have to get in there.
Yeah. So.
Well, Josie, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
thank you so much for having me.
And you're coming back. Yeah. Gabby?
Yeah. Johnny, close us out in prayer if you don't mind.
All right, let's
thank
be
you so
revived.
Much for being with us today.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, Lord, today you've once again reminded us of the importance of sharing the good news with all those we encounter. May our joy continue to radiate the Eucharist that lives, breathes within us. We give this day to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.